Hey, this is Jim Larrabee. I'm the lead pastor here at First Christian Church, and this is our podcast. My prayer is that the words you hear encourage you, that they challenge you, that they build your faith and draw you closer to Jesus. So enjoy.
Good morning. All right, show of hands, how many people meant to come first service? I set 3 alarm clocks just to make sure it worked. So I am not Pastor Larrabee, as you can tell. My name is Don. I am the adult ministry pastor here at First Christian Church. And I'll be quite honest with you, I was kind of surprised. I approached Jim about preaching a message on small groups, and he said yes. I didn't know what to do. I was expecting one of those things, well, maybe July, August. Instead, he said, hey, how about 2 weeks from now? He is every once in a while, he'll take a Sunday off because he is getting his doctorate. So pretty soon, you're going to have to call him Dr. Larrabee. So would it be Pastor Doctor or Doctor Pastor? Am I too loud? Okay. Let me open us in prayer real quick. Lord, I just want to ask right now that your Holy Spirit come down, rest upon us. Lord, open our hearts and our minds to your word, Lord, not mine, but your words. And I just ask now that you bless this time and let your Holy Spirit rest upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so yes, this is going to be a talk about small groups. Anyone want to take a guess why? Because I'm the adult ministry pastor, and I'm in charge of small groups. small groups are very dear to my heart. When I came to Christ, I got into a small group, and it changed my life, and it definitely changed the direction of my ministry. So the reason I approached Jim in the first place, because I recognize that we have a new normal, right? Everybody remember the old normal? The old normal was in 2019, September 2019, we had about 995 people on campus on average. And then COVID hit. In March of 2020, if anybody was here, we had to close our doors for one Sunday. Otherwise, we were meeting outside on the lawn here, and I know probably a lot of you were here, and it was actually a lot of fun. Who enjoyed it? Yeah, people were bringing their dogs and picnic lunches, and it was really something. It was really an experience, especially when the cops showed up and kept on telling us to quiet down. And of course, who did they always throw to the cops? Yeah, me. So. The new normal, though, so if you didn't notice, our governor said that COVID is no longer a state emergency as of February 28th, so we can all now just, I don't know what we can all do now. But in January of 2023, our on-site attendance, I remember in September in 2019, it was 995. In January, our on-site attendance was 1,032. Yeah, very good. And in February, you beat that. 1,076 was the average attendance during February. So that was great. People, the new normal, are returning to church. And I'll be quite honest with you, we can probably thank COVID for that because most of you were stuck at home. And you got tired and you wanted some other fellowship with other people. And so you decided to come back to church. And that's great. There's only one problem. Let me tell you the new normal for small groups. In 2019, we had 32 active small groups. And most of those were full. In fact, some of them were so full we had to close them. But in February of 2023, we now only have 21 small groups. People are still a little leery about coming back into somebody's home. And that is those small groups, many of them are closed due just because they're limiting the number of people that can want to attend their church. Attend their small group. So what I want to bring today is I want to talk about the importance of small groups for several different reasons. I mean, this is a lot of people. There's a lot of you sitting here right now. And we're coming back to church, but the question is, are we united? Or are we just a bunch of individuals coming to church and not connecting with anyone else? Jesus prayed for unity. In one of his last prayers here on earth in John 17, he said, "And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world," speaking about us, "and I am going to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one." Jesus prayed for unity for us because he knew what was going to happen. He knew that we would struggle with unity. David, the King David, spoke of unity being good and pleasant. Psalm 133 says, "Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity." It's a wonderful thing when people come together. I mean, anybody ever gone to a church at a different location and they're having a potluck by chance? Oh my gosh. You want to bring people in unity? Bring food. Just bring food. But everybody's smiling and enjoying each other's company. And I'm going to get into that in a little bit. But it's pleasant and good to see unity. And then Paul told the church in Ephesus that our calling, what we are supposed to be doing, is being united in Christ. Ephesians 4:1 says, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling in which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity," and here it goes, "the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." We are to our calling, what we're here on this earth to do, is to be in unity with the Spirit, doing things in the Spirit with the bond of peace. The world seeks to divide us with fear, grandiose headlines, half-truths, and then I didn't think I'd ever say fake news. And the whole point is to divide us. And the scary part is we're letting it. We let it divide us. Many of you know that I was a police officer for 30 years. And I've been told that if I don't include a cop story in my messages, it's not as good. So I'm going to give you a cop story. Now, I'm not going to give you the whole cop story to start with. What I want to do is I want to give you the headlines. Okay, this is the headlines you would see on your tablet or, heaven forbid, your actual paper. This would be the headline. "Police officer in Santa Barbara arrests blind man for jaywalking." Okay, I can tell by the laughter. You've already got opinions, okay? Now, keep those opinions to yourself for now, but keep that in mind while I tell this story, while I tell the message, okay? So one of the things that small groups do is small groups unite the church. I mean, I'm going to guess there's at least, 450, 460 people in here right now. How many are united? The church in the book of Acts, in the very first chapters, they were just starting out. I mean, everything was the way it should be. They were united in Christ. Let me read from Acts 2, verses 42 through 47. And it says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles, teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together Ready for this? Okay, they were attending the temple. They were coming together in worship, but they were doing something more. They're breaking bread in their homes. They received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. What was happening to that church, because they were united with Christ, is they had unity. They had peace, that bond of peace. How many of you would sell your possession and give it to me? How many of you would sell your possessions and give it to somebody else in need? Somebody who is struggling. But where were they practicing this? They weren't breaking bread in the worship center. They were breaking bread in their homes. That's where they were living out Christ. They were living out Christ in their homes, sharing with one another. Let me stop for just a moment. Okay, we're actually pretty full at the moment, but look beside, not the person that's sitting right beside you, because yes, you probably know that person. But look past them. Do you know the name of the person sitting next to you? And here's another one. Have they been to your house? No, most of you don't know the person that's sitting one chair away from you. You know, we have 1,000 people that attend this on a weekly basis. You can walk in these doors, sit down, hear a message, hear the worship, get up and walk out, and not one person, you won't know one person's name. That's not how God wants his church to unite. People were being saved because they were breaking bread together in their homes. They were sharing together in their homes. You know, it's hard to be united if you don't spend any time with each other. How do you get to know someone? Anybody here recently dating? Anybody here dating? Okay, anybody been here married less than a year? Wow. Anybody here less than 2 years? You guys are a tough group. I had somebody this morning. Okay, so remember way back when you were dating. How much time did you spend on the phone talking to each other? I mean, my wife right now is in Thailand, and she'll be back in 2 weeks. She called me last night. How long do you think we talked on the phone? Oh, I wish. 10 minutes. 10 minutes before she said, I gotta go. Oh, okay. I'll just talk to the dogs. I guess I could say I already know my wife, right? We've been married 44 years, so I guess I know my wife. So she didn't have to spend a lot of time talking. But how did I get to know her? I spent a lot of time on the phone with her. I spent a lot of time in person. Do you know how hard it is to sit across from somebody and act like you care when you don't care? And I didn't say that. You guys cannot snitch me off. Okay, she's gone for 2 weeks, so wipe your memories. But that's how you get to know someone. That's how you unite. That's how you find out what a person's like. That's how you find out what their likes and dislikes are. And you can't do that sitting here quietly, and I do appreciate that, sitting here quietly and not talking to each other. Small groups unite the church. You find out, oh, I've got this in common. Oh, I've got that in common. A young lady walked on the way out after first service said, oh my gosh, I met your wife at A, and we have been best friends ever since. If you don't talk to the person, you can never be united with that person. So small groups unite the church, but small groups not only unite the church, but they can break out into the community. It can change the community. The way we act and what we do and how we're molded can change the community. Paul, writing to the church in Colossae, basically tells us what the world looks like and what we're supposed to look like. Here's what he says. It says in Colossians 3, he says, but now you must put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. That's what the world looks like. The world looks like that, and we're to put that aside. And it says, having put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator, here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put them on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. And what did Jim talk about? What is holy? Holy means being set apart. We're to be set apart from the world. We're not to look like the world anymore. Compassionate hearts. This is what we're supposed to look like. Compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so that you also might forgive. So we're no longer to look like the world. We're to look like Christ. But where do you practice that? Where do you practice that new Christianity? Anybody here trying to lose weight? Yeah. There's some people that are being honest, including myself. Where do you practice those habits to put on the new self so you don't go home and have a bowl of ice cream? Boy, that sounds good. How often have you seen in the news or maybe even in person arguments between family, friends, coworkers, sometimes total strangers? And you know what hurts the most sometimes? Sometimes you hear that and see that in the churches. You see bickering in the churches over politics. That's not our concern. Our concern is being united in Christ. So often, because we don't know someone, we judge them so quickly. How many of you have already judged the police officer that arrested the blind man for jaywalking? Come on, I know you giggled. So I know there's a lot of judging going on out there. I was walking into JCPenney's with my wife, and as I was walking in, I saw a gentleman in front of me, tats down the neck, tats on the arms, and I recognized a lot of those tats from prison. And because of my 30 years in law enforcement, I immediately judged him. I immediately put him in a certain group that I didn't want to associate with. By the way, this was pre-conversion. This was old me. And as I walked in the door, I told my wife, I leaned over and told my wife, I said, hey, that guy's a parolee or a gang member. Let's go that way because he's going that way. My wife looked at me and said, he is a professor at one of our colleges. I had judged him and put him in a hole where I thought he belonged before I even knew him. That's how small groups can change the community. You get to know people. I had a small group in Arizona. My wife can invite an empty chair to our small group. We were inside of a mall, and you guys know those sea salt places, you know, they have the little carts, and they come from Israel, right? It's from the Dead Sea. Well, most of those people come from Israel, and they sell here to make a living. So anybody will guess what religion they would be? Jewish, yeah, exactly. My wife invites him to church. And he says to her, you know I'm a Jew, right? I mean, that. And he said it like that. And she goes, it doesn't matter. You're welcome at our church. That's how small groups can change the community. I mean, I would like to think that man went back to Israel and said, man, there's something different about those Christians in Santa Maria. And they're inviting Jews into their church. You know, Paul in this church to Colossae was writing to a church that was tearing itself apart with different views. How many think here have different views on politics? How many here have different views on marriage? How many have different views on whatever? But does this sound like our church today, sometimes tearing itself apart? It definitely sounds like our world, tearing itself apart with different views. As Christians, we are called to close ourselves with compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. And where does that start? Where do you practice those things? You practice those things in a small group, in an intimate group where you get to know people. You know, the reason I'm up here talking about small groups and I'm the small groups pastor is because I truly believe that that's where connecting starts with Christ, is in a small group. I mean, many of you, I apologize. Sometimes I'll be in the market and somebody go, hi, Pastor Don. I have no clue who you are. Should I burn Jim? Oh, I'm going to burn Jim. You ever notice that when sometimes Jim, you say hi to Jim, Jim will go, hey, wild man. That's because he has no idea your name. The scary part of it, he has said that to me. But you know, you get to know people in community when they're in your small group. Like I said, my small group in Arizona, we had between 15 and 20 people, and I bet only two of those people actually attended our church. We had a couple Catholics. We had an ex-Mormon. We had people that attended, but we reached, my wife reached out to the community, and she would invite everybody and anybody into our small group. You know, I actually do facilitate several small groups here. And I can tell you this, that I have grown close to more men than I ever thought possible. I have parolees visit my home. I have individuals visit my home. But I even let Dodger fans in my home. Now that's giving. That is truly giving. But imagine the difference we can make when we're able to hear different views in love. And that happens in your small group, where people have the freedom to share what they're really thinking. I can tell you this right now, there are people here that you would be shocked if you were to hear their political views. But they keep it well hidden because they know they wouldn't be accepted, or they think they wouldn't be accepted. But that's where we're different. That's where we have compassionate hearts. That's where we have patience. So small groups unite the church, and small groups can unite the community, but just as important is small groups can change lives. In Hebrews 10, 24 through 25, it says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. Ready? But encouraging one another, and all the more as you say the day drawing near. You know, how many of you here are sitting here right now and don't raise your hand, you're having a pretty lousy day? How many here are having a mediocre day? I'll say I'm having a mediocre day. I miss my wife. I got up this morning and had to feed the dogs myself. Simple that. But I'm sure there's some people here that are having a great day. But unless you stop and connect, nobody knows what kind of day you're having. You know, I'm looking out and I see several people in my small group that as they walked in, I said, hey, how's it going? I mean, I know they have a brand new grandson. And I know she's going back up to see her grandson. So she won't be in my small group. Fine. You know, how many of you are sitting here thinking, I wish you would stop talking so I could just get up and leave? You've got 6 more minutes. But how many people here are sitting here and you're thinking, you know, gee, I feel convicted to go say hi to somebody I don't know. I feel convicted to introduce myself to somebody I don't know. I feel convicted to join a small group. As we come together in love, we find solutions to life in Jesus Christ. And part of those solutions is sitting next to you. But you don't get to hear that solution because you don't talk to the other person, because there's not the opportunity. Literally, when you all get up to walk out, you can't stop or you'll get run over. Football's over, people. I'm sorry. You know, it's hard to find a solution to your life and to your life issues if nobody can speak into your life. But you know something that's even more important? God wants you to speak into somebody else's life. God wants you to lift somebody else up, and you can't do that if you're not present. So I'm going to ask you this. You know, there's people here right now that are probably thinking, you don't know how busy I am. You don't know what I've gone through. You don't know how hard it is for me to get home and then go to a small group. I have seen lives changed by people getting involved in small groups. How many of you here have guessed that the police officer who arrested the blind man for jaywalking was me? Who kept raising your hands? The laughter was enough. Now, I had a small group at the time, and I don't see, where are you, Eddie? Did you leave? Oh, there you are. I had a small group friend, enemy, who heard about that story, and to this day will say to everybody, do you know Don arrested a blind man for jaywalking? And unless you get to know me, you might think some pretty bad things about me, right? Come on, I arrested a blind man for jaywalking. But my small group got to hear the rest of the story, even though some people won't repeat the whole story. Well, the rest of the story is that morning at briefing, we were told that we had transients that were pretending they were disabled to get more money. And they were hanging out in front of the stores. So when I get to Chapala and Coda on my motorcycle, I see a guy with a cane step out in front of traffic and literally almost get run over. So close. I mean, he almost got killed. When he gets to my side of the street, I walk up to him and I say, hey, if you're blind, and by the way, you do not need a red tip on your cane if you're blind. That was a false impression I had because he had no tip on his cane, so I thought he was faking. So when I walked up to him, I said, hey, I'm a police officer. You can hear my radio. You can feel my uniform. You almost got run over. You need to be more careful. His response to me was to tell me where I could go and where I could do with my motorcycle. So I told him again, turned up my, and maybe a little more forceful the second time. He again told me what I could do and where I could go with my motorcycle. The third time, he started to turn around and walk away. Now, I have discovered that you do not touch a blind person because they can't see it coming. So it's very offensive to them. Well, he was walking away, so my natural instinct was to grab him. Guess what he does with his cane? He hits me in the face with it. Thankfully, I was wearing my helmet. He got arrested for jaywalking. Now, the reason I told you that story is because how many of you, when you first heard that, were judging me? How many of you were thinking, well, how in the world would you arrest a blind man for jaywalking? Now, how many of you have a little more empathy for me? Oh, yeah, nobody raised their hands now. But unless you're in a small group, you don't get to know the person. You know, I haven't asked these two gentlemen, so I won't mention their names, but there's a probation officer and a gentleman who had served time in prison. And because of their connection here at the church in a small group, they are best friends right now. They never would have associated with each other beforehand. They wouldn't have. But because they got to know each other, they recognize that we're all the same united in Christ. We are all the same united in Christ. You know, I consider that gentleman who served time in prison probably to be a very good friend. And I'm a retired police officer. Once you get to know people, things change. That's what small groups do. Small groups give you that opportunity to learn and grow together in Christ. Out in the coffee shop, there is a wall, and it says, small groups love people. And on that wall, we're going to have, is a television, and on that television, there's going to be scrolling small groups. And there's going to be a QR code at the bottom. If you feel motivated to join a small group, you can go out there, take a picture of that QR code, and it'll immediately send you to our website for small groups. If you want to lead a small group, please contact myself or Sandra Fontes, who is the small group facilitator. But I can't urge you enough to get connected. It is so hard with 400 or 500 people sitting in here to connect with anybody. And God has a purpose. I'm going to pick on you too. Do you know those people sitting behind you? Do you know those people? How can you speak into each other's lives, right? Hey, this is what you get for sitting in the front row. It's kind of like being on a comedy show. It's what you get for sitting in the front row. But trust me, they're not the only ones. I'm sure if you looked around behind you, you'd see a lot of people that you don't know. And a lot of those people are in small groups. And I truly believe you'll be amazed with what Christ will do when you walk with the brothers and sisters in Christ. We have different views. God didn't make us all cookie cutter the same. We have different views, but with Jesus Christ, we all have unity. Let me close this in prayer. Lord, again, I just want to thank you for the blessings you've given us. Lord, you are an awesome and wonderful and powerful God, and you call us to unity. You call us to be one, because we always have your Son, Jesus Christ, as our Savior. Lord, I just want to ask you now that if there's anybody here that's struggling, that doesn't have that unity because they're not a follower of Christ, that you direct them to the prayer room, Lord, that you motivate them to seek out your eternal gift. And Lord, as people have heard about small groups, Lord, I just ask now that you help people connect here with others, Lord. Help them connect with small groups. And Lord, again, I just pray for unity among this body of believers. In Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people said, amen.
Hey, thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed today's podcast, don't forget to subscribe and share it with a friend. A special thanks to those of you who give generously to this ministry. It's because of you that this ministry is possible. If you'd like to find out more information about giving or to see what's going on in the life of our church, please visit us at fccsantamaria.org. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.